My name is Michael Bailey, and you're listening to the EDP Formula One podcast.
Hello there, all, and welcome to the final Eastern Daily Press Formula One podcast of the 2012 season, brought to you by the rather atmospheric, almost festive surroundings of Bar 12 here in Norwich. Just off Rouen Road. I said I'd give them a plug. I've done that now. We're here to wrap up, discuss, assess and revel in the 2012 season. And I'm joined by a special crew of panellists, as always. I'm delighted to say, sitting alongside me, David Tillier. Hello, David.
Hello. How's it going?
Very well, thank you. I'm a bit sad, final pod, but, you know, we're all right. We'll be back.
That's right. Now we can just look forward to next year's podcast.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, once we've got this one out of the way.
Well, yes. Yeah.
He says with a deep breath. Perry Hamilton is here. Perry, hello.
Hello, Michael. It's been a good journey. Been fun. Since Barcelona we've been doing this, is it not?
We did a preview of Barcelona. We never looked back.
No.
Apart from when the first half of the season finished.
Yeah, we did a review. And now we're kind of looking back now, which is like a review. So, but other than that, you could say, like said Vettel, we never lift.
I love it. That is what I am talking about. And to make up our triumphant quartet, Kyle Cumbers is here. Kyle, good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Does it feel like winter now?
Yes. I mean, well, from Brazil, it's very late end of the season, so, and that means that it'll come around sooner, though. So,
won't it just? I was going to say, it's going to be a few weeks and we'll already be talking about 2013. But let's not do that now. Let's revel in 2012 first. We've got loads of stuff from, we've had loads of tweets in on various little facts and reviews and things, and we've got some rather exciting Tillier stats coming up that we are all looking forward to. But first, we have to talk about the man, the number one. Again, that finger isn't going away anytime soon, is it? Sebastian Vettel, 3 times world champion, having had a little wobble maybe with Ferrari coming in with their challenges and all sorts. We're not going to go into that because that was all ridiculous. We discussed it a little bit last week, but it's a good place to start. Sebastian Vettel, how good is he? David?
Yeah, he's very, very good. I mean, I wouldn't go as far as say he's the best. But no, he's very, very good. I think he came out in a magazine or a paper recently and said he was a little bit frustrated by some of the things that some of the pundits have been saying about him, in terms of the fact that, you know, he's not that good because he can only lead from the front and only dominate, and he's a bit annoyed at people for thinking that wasn't a skill. But yeah, no, he is very, very good. I wouldn't say he's quite in the Hamilton Alonso class yet. He's been very lucky that he's had the best machinery and he's able to make it work. But yeah, still a fantastic achievement,
isn't it? Just, and I still think, you know, he had those criticisms of only being able to win from the front and things like that. But is it fair to say those big criticisms that he couldn't overtake and he wasn't a racer, that they've kind of put those to bed, hasn't he, this year?
He can tick those boxes, is what this year has shown me. I would not say he's the most complete driver on the grid. I don't think I'd give him that accolade. But I would certainly say that he has his comfort zones. When he's in those comfort zones, he's unstoppable. When forced to step outside those comfort zones, that's when you see how good he really is, because he actually manages to step up to just what's needed of him. But I wouldn't say that actually he's, you know, well-rounded in every single area. Yes, he can overtake. His fans will point to Abu Dhabi as an example of that. His detractors will say, yeah, but look at the safety cars and look at this and look at that. And there's always ways you can look at it. He's not the most well-rounded driver on the grid, but he is very good at what he does, and what he does wins him championships.
And he grew up. I kind of think he grew up this year. I mean, there were certain things he kept doing well, like Ped says, there are other things that some will think he grew and proved on, but There wasn't any tantrums earlier on in the season. Not really.
No, he had a tough first half of the season. And he was kind of, in a strange way, the forgotten man for the first half. We weren't really talking about him too much. But then the second half, he took advantage of an Adrian Newey car. And I kind of agree with the others. I think there's a clear top three in Formula 1. Hamilton, Alonso, and Vettel. I still have him as third at the moment, but you can't knock him. He's won 3 championships in a row, and in years to come we'll look back and say, you know, he was a great at the time.
We'd all
maybe he needs to move to another team to prove how good he is, but
I think we'd all agree with that one, definitely. I think we'd all like to take advantage of an Adrian Newey car at some point as well, wouldn't we? I think that one.
Oh yeah,
would all have a go at that?
Oh yeah, you can't blame him for doing what he's doing. You know, he's going out and doing what the team want him to do and dominating in racing. I'm sure they would love for it to continue being fairly boring so that they can continue their domination. But as fans who sit here, you know, we are red blooded F1 fans, and you know, we want a bit of excitement. We want a bit of want it to be mixed up a little bit. And sometimes when Seb's on form, that doesn't happen.
Fair enough. Okay, well, Seb is the world champion. The question is, gents, who is your driver of the year? And will you all say the same one? That's my big wonder. I wonder what you're going to say. I don't know.
Driver of the year is a hard one, but I don't think it's the driver that's got the world championship.
I agree with David on that.
I'm going to stop you, David. I'm going to let Perry go first. We're going to let Perry have the first go.
Crikey. Yeah. This is setting the bar, isn't it? Now, I'm not a man known to eat humble pie. I'm not a man known to retract statements. But I'm actually going to give my driver of the year to a driver based pretty much solely on his performance in the second half of the season. Having been written off after the first half of the season, I don't think there was a podcast went by where we didn't say this man's future was in serious doubt. Not only with the team he was with, but with any other team looking out there at him. He was never the same after his injuries when he crashed out in Hungary. It was never the same guy. Second half of this season, Felipe Massa came out of the blocks. Not only did he prove he's still got the pace to be a challenger, and that if Ferrari would let him, he would win races, but he did everything needed to be a good teammate to help Ferrari mount a late charge that, let's be honest, they should never have been mounting. We look at that car and look at how poor it's been the whole season. And Felipe Massa was there. He did everything that was ever needed of him to do. And to come back from... I mean, he must have heard the criticisms. We can't have been the only people saying negative things about him in the first half of the season. To hear all of that, to put it all aside, to get your new deal done, and then to work wonders with a Ferrari car that isn't that great, I would say my driver of the season, purely for his efforts based on the second half, is Felipe Massa.
Love it. I'm fantastic.
Well, I wasn't expecting that.
Go on then, Kyle.
I'm going to have to go to the obvious. Fernando Alonso drove the car to the, you know, to the maximum. I think we've said enough over the different podcasts how good he's been this season. But I also like to mention Kimi Räikkönen coming back in the sport after 2 years out. We saw what happened to Schumacher coming back. He struggled, but he just seemed to slot back in and driving as good as he ever has done.
It's like he'd never been away.
It was, yeah.
Dave.
I'm very, very close to agreeing with Perry. Very, very close, because I think for all the right reasons, Massa has is deserving of that accolade. But for me, the driver of the season overall is probably one of the most unlucky drivers of the season overall, and my award has to go to Hamilton. I think I haven't really seen a weekend where he hasn't been on form this season, especially in the sort of second half of the season. You know, there's been other things that have meant that he's not been able to achieve, and that have either been car related or reliability related. But as drivers go, I think he has been the fastest and the most deserving of that accolade this season.
I think it's hard to remember a mistake that either Vettel, Alonso, or Hamilton made themselves all season. Really difficult to think of one moment where they weren't getting the most out of the car they've got. For me, as the band strikes up, it could be either of those three for driver of the year. He said sitting on the fence, but Seb was the one who won it. I just, you know, but then Alonso got the most out of his car. Yeah, completely sitting on the fence. So to help ease the fence, I think we should now have our driver reviews. I haven't come up with a snappy title for this, but this is basically three words on a driver, summing up their season, their 2012, how good, how not good, all this sort of stuff. We've got a few tweets as well, so I'm going to chuck in a few of these to kick us off, if I may. Let's see what we've got here. Ben McKinney at Hamina1 on Twitter. Hamilton moaned a lot. Hey, hey, love it. Adam Lambert at Adam Connor on Twitter. Alonso should be champ. Ralph Scrampton at Blind as a Bat. Vettel, lucky like Schumacher.
Ooh.
And a quartet from Karen. Karen A, I think it is. Karen, she is at Lanx10. Hamilton, Mercedes a mistake. Vettel, lucky, lucky, lucky. There's a theme there. Grosjean, driver awareness course. A bit harsh. And Raikkonen, cool as ice. He is the Iceman. He is the Iceman indeed. So they're the ones we had tweeted in. Thanks, guys, for those. Gentlemen, what have you got then? Have you got a few favourites you want to put forward?
I thought the obvious one for Grosjean from Mr. Webber. First lap nutcase.
That's a cracker.
See, mine for Grosjean was first corner shenanigans.
Oh, love it. That's like a reworking of Webber. That's fantastic. Who else have we got? Have we got any other?
I feel terrible. I feel like a kid who hasn't done his homework because I haven't come in with the amount of notes and stuff that the other guys have come in with. I have notes in other areas, so, you know.
All right, then. Well,
I don't feel too bad.
Chip in if you come up with any.
one I would like to throw in, three word here.
Please.
Jenson Button won 3 races. How many times have we mentioned his name during these podcasts? Not very many. He's not been a factor this season. But this guy won 3 races. Bookended the season, won smack in the middle at Belgium as well. You know, and there's been some consistency issues there, yeah. But still, I'm thinking, Jenson Button won 3 races this season. And look for him to be a challenger for the title next year.
It was a long time from the Welcome 2009, I think, wasn't it? Was that his radio message after winning in Melbourne?
Yeah.
I would have been downhill from there. Poor guy. I've got a couple. Paul de Resta. Hope, hype, wallop.
Ooh. Difficult second season.
Love it.
Second season syndrome.
Second season syndrome. Yeah. Look at this. Yeah. Senna. Still beats Pasta.
Better race performer.
Yeah.
Kyle's nodding in agreement. Yeah. That's enough. Yeah. Rosberg, where'd you go?
Rosberg got the win. Most important thing for him this season. Got the win under his belt.
Really?
Yep.
I cannot. I can't agree with that.
It's a positive.
Rosberg still no Schumacher.
He wishes he what current Schumacher or
current
back
Schumacher.
Back in the day Schumacher.
Yeah.
That's even worse. Oh dear. Felipe Massa, ignominy to prosperity.
Best teammate ever.
Oh well, we might come back to that.
Improved too late.
I've
got one for Timo Glock. I'd like to throw out there for you, for you Mauritia fans, people keeping an eye on the back of the pack. Glock, least exciting German. Because let's be honest, we've got a plethora to choose from, and I'm afraid he's bringing up the back of that pack.
Oh wow, there you go. I love it. I've got one for Kamui, flat last hurrah. Just wasn't the same as the old Kamui.
Kamui, hometown hero. Because nothing will ever take away that performance in Japan and the crowd's reaction.
So maybe it's a fitting last hurrah then in the end. Brilliant stuff. Well, I think we've done that justice.
Yeah.
Good section. We might revisit that next year.
I have actually got one for Kimi.
Go for it.
Please turn around.
Well, indeed. Indeed. That's the odd...
road ahead
dead
closed.
Dead end. That one as well. Yeah, well, if you're going to drive down a dead end, that's what's going to happen. Fantastic. Now, as always, we like a stat. We always have done. We always have liked a stat. And I'd like to now introduce our very own statsman, preparing his sheets of paper with what can only be described as a plethora of statistical wonder. David Tillier, Statman.
Thank you.
We will heckle you, by the way.
Yeah, I'm fully expecting it.
Good.
So I'd like to introduce everyone to the EDP F1 2012 Formula One statistics.
Yes.
Yay! A lot of this will be sort of centred around sort of just different things, mainly tyre related, because that's where I nicked a lot of my stats from. But
fantastic. Don't tell Pirelli.
Yeah. Right. So. In 2012, the total number of tyres provided were 31,800. over the course of a season, of which 22,500 were dry tyres, 9,300 were wet tyres, plus an additional 6,600 for all the tests that went on throughout the season.
And 30,000 went on a big bonfire at the end.
Pretty much, yeah. Well, of those 31,800, number of tyres used were dry tyres 21,400 and wet tyres 2,100. That's the ones that actually went onto the car.
Okay.
So still, that's a hell of a lot of rubber.
Yes. I think they do recycle them, don't they? They have found a way to recycle them.
Yes.
A lot of tyres get recycled into carpet underlay.
Am I spoiling your stats, David?
No, it's fine. Actually, number of tyres recycled during 2012 was exactly 31,800.
I bet it was.
The exact number that
were produced. That is Pirelli's conscience there, developed in a stat.
Exactly. Right, slightly more techie stat here.
Yes.
Longest continuous energy input into a tyre.
Right.
Now, that actually happened at India between turn 10 to turn 11. I can't tell you actually how much energy, but apparently
that's the most. That is a stat.
There we go. Longest race of the year was Malaysia at 2 hours 44 minutes 51 seconds and some other bits and pieces, but it was long.
It was a cracker race.
Surprisingly, the shortest race of the year was the British Grand Prix, which I was quite shocked to learn.
Let's be honest, by that point, we were well into Olympics. We'd knocked it all on the
head. We were in that mode.
We just sort of had to get the F1 out of the way, get it out of the country.
We just knocked out of the park in an hour and 25 minutes.
Nothing.
Highest top speed reached by a driver was Raikkonen in Italy with 346 kilometres per hour, which is 220-ish, something like that, maybe.
Just going back to the British Grand Prix, I presume that would have been the Grand Prix weekend with probably the most fans and least race action, because there was no practice, pretty much.
Some of the most,
it was a washout.
Some of the most difficult logistical conditions as well, getting things there and back as well.
And it was the one I was at, so maybe it was all deliberate.
It's all your fault.
Yeah, I think probably was. Won't go next year.
Yes, we will. Right, where did I get to? Yes, highest average speed of a fastest lap was Hamilton in Italy again, with 248 kilometres per hour. Slowest average speed of a fastest lap was Schumacher in Monaco with 161 kilometres per hour.
Hang on, he got the fastest lap. Oh, I see what you mean. Slowest.
But didn't he get pole in Monaco?
Yeah,
and he got slowest average.
Yeah, because it's the slowest track, so it's the slowest fastest.
Oh, okay, I gotcha.
Otherwise, HRT would get that accolade every race.
Bless.
What do we get? Most fastest laps in 2012. Well, no prizes for guessing who won this one. That's Sebastian Vettel with 5 in race and 6 qualifying. So 6 poles. Total number of pit stops for the year. This is quite frankly baffling. 957 pit stops.
Gee.
That's a lot of work going through with all these guys in the pit lane. Most pit stops in a race, he had 76 in Malaysia. And the least amount was 24 in the United States.
Well, they did say it was easy on the tyres, didn't they? So
because most people were doing one stop. So. Yeah.
And it was a cracking race without really needing the pit stops for the tyres.
And we mentioned Jenson Button earlier on. He actually has the accolade for fastest pit stop, although I'm sure he was not really much of a participant in
that. All about the way he drove in.
Yes, exactly. Fastest pit stop time was 2.31 seconds.
Wow.
That's a quick pit stop.
Yeah, I mean, I can't think of anything I could do in 2.31 seconds.
Not on this podcast. Carry on.
Right, so we'll wrap this up quite quickly. Number of overtaking manoeuvres in 2012, 1,139. I don't know whether that's good compared to last year or not, because I haven't been well prepared enough to bring in last year's results.
Still, it's more than enough for me.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Most overtaking manoeuvres in a dry race, 90 at the Chinese Grand Prix. Most in a wet race was 147 at the Brazilian Grand Prix, which I'm sure we can all we can remember pretty much every single one. And the least overtaken manoeuvres, unsurprisingly, was 12 at Monaco,
of course.
And that wraps up my slightly more boring than expected statistics.
Don't diss it, David. Hey, F1 stats, you can't get any better. Yes. Apparently, Charles Peake was the most overtaken driver this year, which is
always... Poor boy.
Well, it's a good thing because you're in the position to be overtaken, and then it's a bad thing because your car's not quick enough to stay ahead of anyone. Yeah. That's how I look at it.
I bet Narain Karthikeyan is really pleased with that. He's popping champagne bottles.
Well, bear in mind, it does mean that Peake's been on the track long enough to be overtaken. That's what it means. See, Karthikeyan's probably in the pits by that point.
Ooh.
Okay, gents. I also asked on Twitter for 140 character reviews of the season. A Twitter special, this one. Do we have any?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Did you one, David?
Nope.
You're too wrapped up in your stats, weren't you? They were worth it. It's fine. They were worth it. Don't worry about that. Go on then, Ped.
I've got one from a chap who's not actually on Twitter, but does listen to the podcast and sort of got in contact with me and asked if I could put it forward. This one goes out to Adam Noon, a big Formula One fan, regular listener. His was seven. No, that's not his.
Hang on. I'm not going to edit it.
Okay, I've got
this one's Adam Noon. Is Alonso audacious for Ferrari? Deserved more. Grosjean in role of spoiler for many. Wonder at final scores if he hadn't been on track at all.
Oh, it's almost poetic,
isn't it? Just he's good with his words.
He is. Yeah. Love it, Adam. Good work. That's well up there.
My review is it had different and new winners, but Vettel's car was too quick and reliable to take the title. McLaren missed out and should have done more.
They should have done more. Yeah. Damn right they should have done more. What did I get on Twitter? I got some funny ones on Twitter. Dave Montgomery, or at Geordie Canary, he tweeted, Zoom! I think that's about 140 characters. I've done that justice, Dave. Tom Belk, who is at Tom Belk with an H. What a comeback for Kimi. With better reliability, Lewis could have run close to Vettel. True grit from Alonso. And Tom Harding with maybe a slight element of sarcasm. I'm not sure. At Tom Artisan Baker. Some cars went round a track. The planet crept wearily towards death. Meh. I'm not sure he's a Formula One fan. What do you reckon?
No.
Good old Tom. I appreciate you getting in touch. Anyway, it's all good. I'll give you mine. Winners galore, even Pastor. Alonso in charge, Red Bull AWOL, McLaren breakdown, Lewis breakout, Grosjean fails to break, Vettel turbo time.
I see, that's very good. I like you're quite punchy there.
Can I give you mine? Please do.
Seven different winners after seven races, eight different winners after 20. Second half of season, separated contenders from pretenders. RBR dominate again. I had to abbreviate Red Bull to Red Bull Racing to RBR.
Love it.
Dominate again.
You could, yeah, fantastic.
I can't contend with any of these guys because I haven't really come as well prepared. But what I will give you is what I actually said at the end of the season on Twitter.
Love it. This is perfect, though. This is brilliant. And this is why you're here.
And I said, "What a spectacular season! Breathtaking from start to finish, with more spills and thrills than we could have asked for."
Succinct.
Yeah.
Perfect.
It's a little bit less than 140 characters, but it covers the way I feel.
That's fine.
It's efficient.
Don't use them if you don't need to, mate.
Exactly.
It's efficient,
exactly.
David. Nothing wrong with that at all. Brilliant stuff. Thanks again for all your tweets on that one. Well, I did say it was an epic finale to the 2012 season. We're going to just have a little break here. That's it for part one of our final EDP F1 podcast for the season. Don't worry, part two will be with you momentarily.